Picture a respected governor, devoted family man, and Eagle Scout who simply vanishes from his post, not for a crisis, but to pursue an affair in Argentina. Mark Sanford's stunning fall from grace forces an uncomfortable question. Was his character always flawed, just hidden? Or is something more unsettling at play? We cling to the comforting belief that character is stable. Good people do good things, bad people do bad things. Yet history tells a different story. During World War I's Christmas truce, British and German soldiers exchanged gifts and played soccer, only to resume killing each other days later. The same individuals capable of tender compassion became instruments of violence almost overnight. This isn't about a few broken people, it's about all of us. The potential for both virtue and vice doesn't live in separate people. It lives within each of us, waiting for the right conditions to emerge. We've been telling ourselves the wrong story about character. The classic image, an angel and devil on our shoulders, suggests we simply choose between good and evil. But that's not how our minds actually work. Think instead of Aesop's ant and grasshopper. The grasshopper represents our impulse for immediate pleasure, the dessert when we're trying to lose weight, the affair when we're committed, the shortcut when integrity demands the long road. The ant embodies our capacity for long-term thinking, the voice reminding us that today's pleasure becomes tomorrow's regret. Neither is inherently good or evil. Both served our ancestors well. Immediate rewards kept them fed and reproducing, while long-term planning built communities and relationships. The tension between them isn't a bug in our psychology. It's a feature. But here's what makes character so slippery. This internal scale tips constantly based on factors we barely notice. A messy room, a pleasant scent, even how much sleep we got. All these shift the balance without our awareness. When we act out of character, we haven't revealed our true nature. We've simply tipped the scale. We're expert hypocrites, masterfully hiding it from ourselves. In one experiment, participants could assign themselves a 10-minute easy task or a 45-minute difficult one, with the other going to the next person. A coin flipper sat right there for fairness. Yet 92% took the easy task, rating themselves as moderately fair, but condemned others making the same choice as completely unfair. When researchers blocked this rationalization by having people memorize digit strings while judging, the hypocrisy vanished. Deep down, we know it's wrong. Our minds are just virtuoso excuse makers. Christmas 1914, soldiers who'd been killing each other laid down weapons to exchange gifts and play soccer. Days later, they resumed the slaughter. This shift came from seeing enemies as not like us to recognizing their humanity, then back again. Similarity determines compassion, and these judgments are shockingly arbitrary. In one experiment during Florida's 2006 gubernatorial race, researchers showed participants photos of candidates subtly morphed with their own faces. People consistently preferred whichever candidate resembled them, rating them as more honest and kind, regardless of political positions. They had no idea about the manipulation. Whom we love feels like destiny, but it's evolutionary programming responding to biological cues. Bilateral symmetry signals genetic health. In the dirty t-shirt experiment, ovulating women detected male symmetry through smell alone. During fertile periods, women prefer testosterone-driven faces signaling fitness. Men entering relationships experience testosterone drops, shifting from mate-seeking to mate-keeping mode. John and Amelia Rocchio's 82-year marriage began with immediate attraction, but those sparks faded. What sustained them was love, a different evolutionary mechanism binding us to partners and compelling us to prioritize their well-being. The battle between one-night stands and lifelong commitment isn't between good and bad people. It's raging within all of us, with the outcome determined by which psychological system gains the upper hand. Pride has terrible PR. Christianity calls it the deadliest sin. Buddhism lists it among the 10 fetters preventing enlightenment. Yet pride also drives excellence, motivating us through grueling challenges. In experiments, participants praised for their visuospatial abilities, a made-up skill, persevered significantly longer on tedious tasks, The more pride they felt, the longer they worked. Simply marking something as socially important generated instant motivation. Pride manifests in universal physical signals: straighter posture, elevated head, expanded chest. Congenitally blind Paralympic athletes display identical expressions upon winning, despite never observing them. When pride-induced individuals led group tasks, they worked 20 to 25% longer than teammates. Group members liked them more, perceived them as higher status, and viewed them as better leaders, even when their pride wasn't justified by superior abilities. Pride functions as social technology. It motivates individuals to work harder while signaling to others they're worthy of being followed. The line between healthy pride and toxic hubris isn't about different character types. It's about the same mechanism serving short-term status needs versus long-term relationship needs. Mohammed Sohel, a convenience store owner, chose not to shoot a would-be robber. Instead, he gave the man $40 in food. Months later, the reformed robber returned $50 with a note explaining how this kindness transformed his life. He had no logical reason to return. He couldn't be tracked and clearly needed money. Yet gratitude drove him to reciprocate. Our experiments revealed gratitude's surprising power. When participants' computers seemingly crashed and our confederate Allison helped fix it, they felt intensely grateful. Later, when Allison asked them to complete additional tedious problems, they worked 50% longer than those who hadn't been helped. Most remarkably, this gratitude transferred even when a complete stranger requested help. But fairness is remarkably elastic. Surveys reveal 80% of honor students admit to cheating, claiming it's simply what successful people do. Simply dimming the lights increased cheating on math problems. The mere perception of being less visible makes us more dishonest. Fresh-baked cookies physically present made participants take far more gambling risks than when cookies were merely mentioned. Men consistently underestimate STD risks from attractive women. The more appealing and immediate the reward, the more we ignore potential dangers. Character isn't fixed. It's a continuum that shifts with context. We label people as honest or dishonest, then feel confused when they act out of character. But character exists along a sliding scale between competing needs. This insight is liberating. Success isn't about summoning more willpower, it's about environmental design. Remove temptations, create accountability structures, recognize subtle cues pushing you in unwanted directions. Unpleasant odors increase aggression, children's laughter boosts generosity. Yale's RULER program teaches children to recognize and manage emotions rather than simply instructing good behavior, producing students who excel academically and socially. Recognizing biases in emotional intuitions correlates with greater life satisfaction and leadership potential. Once you understand character as contextual, you gain power over it. There's no perfect balance between your inner ant and grasshopper. The balance point shifts with every situation. A normally honest person lies to protect feelings. A typically selfish individual shows unexpected generosity in crisis. The line between cowards and heroes, bigots and the tolerant, saints and sinners is thinner than we imagine. Your character isn't some immutable essence waiting to be discovered. It's a dynamic system responding to countless environmental inputs you barely register. The same person who returns a lost wallet might cheat on their taxes. These contradictions don't reveal hypocrisy, they reveal humanity. Understanding this doesn't excuse bad behavior, it empowers better choices. When you stop believing willpower alone determines your actions, you start designing environments that support your values. Being a good person isn't about achieving moral perfection. It's about understanding the forces shaping your decisions and strategically managing them. The battle for character is fought daily in small choices about where you place temptations, whom you surround yourself with, and how honestly you examine your own rationalizations.